Climate change, big agriculture, and new industries have all raised concerns in recent years about their impact on Wisconsin's lakes and rivers. Many fear that water quality will deteriorate without stronger regulations and enforcement. A new study from the UW finds that despite changes in the environment, the condition of lakes in Wisconsin and beyond remains largely the same. Samantha Oliver is a graduate student in UW-Madison's Department of Limnology and lead author of the study that examined nearly 3,000 U.S. lakes. She joins us here in the studio. Samantha, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
What were you setting out to find out about lakes?
Yeah, so we wanted to know, how have lakes changed since around 1990? Since then, we know that large environmental changes have occurred in the U.S. and beyond. But certainly in this region of the Midwest and the Northeast United States, we know that the climate is getting warmer. We have more extreme rain events. But at the same time, we've been spending billions of dollars to try to manage nutrients on the landscape. And so we wanted to know how those things combined to sum up to water quality in lakes.
And it sounds like the short version is, if you'll pardon me, we're treading water. We're kind of staying the same in lake quality.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. There have been other studies that have sort of shown the same thing. A few lakes are worsening in water quality, a few places are getting better, but overall most lakes are not changing. And we think that's because, you know, even though we're trying really hard and spending a lot of money to improve water quality, we're sort of running uphill against climate change and other things that are worsening.
And it sounds like there's two responses from the scientific community, and they are, hey, this is good news. It's not getting worse despite all these things that could be making it worse. Or it's bad news. We're putting all this effort into water quality and it's not getting better.
Yeah, that basically describes every reaction I've gotten from any other scientist who I've spoken with. And I sort of think of it as the glass half empty, glass half full perspectives. And certainly I sort of share those changing viewpoints on looking at the study. Yes, it could be interpreted as good news. I think there's a lot of anecdotal evidence. You know, we think of the Madison Lakes or Lake Erie, where there are large algal blooms, and we might have this perception that water quality is actually getting worse. So we really wanted to know, let's zoom out beyond sort of the individual lake perspective and see how things are changing.
And let's talk about what it means for a lake to be healthy. What kind of measures were you looking at?
Yeah, so I think what a healthy lake is depends on who you ask. From my perspective, that generally means the lake isn't green. You might be able to see your hand when you put it in the water. There's enough oxygen for fish to live. Those are kind of the general characteristics that scientists use to describe whether a lake is healthy or not. And so in this study, we used a proxy for how much algae is in the water column called chlorophyll. And then we measured the nutrients that those algae need to grow and reproduce.
And these are algae we don't want too much of, is that right?
Right. That's what makes the lakes green. That's what sort of produces bad water quality. Every lake has algae, but when you get too much, you get other problems in the lake.
Right, like the algae absorbs too much of the oxygen, is that right, for the fish and other species?
Yeah, so the algae grow, they decompose, they fall to the bottom of the lake, and bacteria that break them down consume the oxygen, and then there is no oxygen for organisms like fish.
So that's what we're measuring in terms of health. And then what are some of the things happening in, or I guess near, the water that are threats to that health?
Yeah, so there are some major threats that we think of sort of in the United States for lake water quality. A big one of them, two big ones are urbanization. So when we pave over the landscape no longer can sort of hold on to rain and nutrients from the landscape. The second thing is agriculture. So farmers put a lot of nutrients on the landscape. They produce cows that produce manure, and that manure has to go somewhere. And so generally, they put it back on the fields, and then those nutrients end up in our waterways.
What kind of efforts are there out there to control the runoff of those nutrients and the problems of urbanization that affect lakes here in Wisconsin and the Midwest in general?
Yeah, that's sort of what we were interested in this study, because there have been some national scale management efforts to try to improve water quality. One of those was the Clean Air Amendments in 1990 that were largely focused on trying to mitigate acid rain. But a byproduct of that was that it reduced nitrogen deposition in the atmosphere. atmosphere, which means fewer nutrients should be going to lakes. But again, we didn't see, on the whole, improvements in water quality, and we think that's because we're facing other changes that are worsening water quality.
We're talking to Samantha Oliver from the UW-Madison Department of Limnology, looking at a new study that she's the author of, looking at water quality in about 3,000 lakes in the United States, and seeing water quality generally staying the same, despite efforts to improve it and despite growing threats to that quality. And Samantha, I think a lot of times a water protection effort might be on this lake or this shoreline or this river. Are you trying to get a more global perspective on threats facing water in general?
Yeah, and we think this broader perspective is really important because you might have a farmer doing something on the landscape to improve water quality, but does what that farmer is doing doesn't necessarily translate to, say, oxygen depletion in the Gulf of Mexico, because waterways are connected. And sort of the challenges that we face environmentally are really broad scale. So climate change isn't just happening to one lake or a few lakes. It's happening to all lakes, and climate is changing differently in different places. And so you sort of have to zoom out to get a broader perspective of what we can expect in the future for water quality.
Talk about climate change. I'm sure that's hard to measure as far as a direct impact on things like nutrients in a lake, but in general, what kind of things are you looking at?
Yeah, so I'll use the Yahara watershed here in Madison as an example. So we know that the watershed is a really progressive place to live in terms of water quality management. The managers are doing really innovative things like having the sewage district pay farmers to mitigate nutrients on the landscape instead of spending money on upgrading technology, for example. But those efforts are up against things like increases in the number of extreme precipitation days in a given year. And every time it rains really hard in Madison, we get a big influx of nutrients into the lakes. And that's pretty universal about how we understand how climate change will affect water quality. We generally think more nutrients are going to end up in the lake. It's going to be warmer, which means worsening water quality.
What do we know about how water quality has changed over the long haul? You started this in about 1990. I know in Madison, there's the longest studied lake in the world, probably Lake Mendota, because of your department. What do we know about the changes in water quality over the long haul?
Yeah, it's really important to consider sort of the timing of this study as 1990 and onward. But a lot of changes happened prior to 1990. So the Clean Water Act, for example, in the 1970s, really cleaned up point source pollution. So many people might not know, but previously, we discharged our sewage directly into the Madison Lakes. And so there were huge nutrient and algal bloom problems in the lakes that were largely cleaned up after the Clean Water Act. And so, you know, water quality in the Madison Lakes, we might perceive it as still being bad, but it's actually improved since those days, but it's just not where we want it to be.
Is it possible to take success stories for local water quality preservation efforts and start to replicate them in other lakes and rivers?
Yeah, that's a really hard challenge. One of the things about managing water quality at really broad spatial scales is that some of the local improvements don't tend to scale up. So if a farmer, for example, puts a buffer strip around a stream so that nutrients don't directly run into the stream, you can measure improvements in that stream. But if you move downstream, down a couple streams, oftentimes those efforts don't scale up. So really, we do need these national scale policies if we want to improve water quality at that scale. So I think there are some things to be learned locally, and those efforts aren't wasted, certainly. But we're going to have to do more than just the local scale to improve national water quality.
Yeah, what kind of federal efforts, whether that's regulations or incentives, I guess, could make a difference, not just in one stream or lake?
Yeah, so right now, the primary way that we manage water quality from an agricultural perspective is by offering incentives. So it's sort of an opt-in approach. It's not a regulatory approach. And those are generally more popular than regulatory approaches. And they do work. There's evidence that they can improve water quality. But again, they're optional and they don't scale up.
So as somebody presumably who's interested in the outcome of all this, I mean, looking at your research, we talked about that glass half full, glass half empty, but looking ahead, coming out of this research, do you feel optimistic that we're going to see improvements around the country in water quality?
I'm middle line, I think. I kind of had a glass half empty, treading water sort of perspective. I wasn't necessarily surprised by these findings, but it is disheartening to know the amount of money that the United States spends on water quality, and just knowing that that isn't nearly enough. And so it's going to take a lot of investment to improve water quality.
So if you were talking to a policymaker, what would you want them to take home, whether it's at the state or federal level? Take home from your research?
Yeah, I think one of the unique challenges of lake water quality in particular is that lakes sort of behave individually. So you can't just, with a broad brush, say how lakes are going to change under climate scenarios, for example. How big a lake is, how deep it is, changes how it responds to these drivers. And so national scale efforts to monitor water quality and improve water quality are really important. This study wouldn't have been possible if it weren't for sort of open science efforts to give us their data. I didn't go to 3,000 lakes and collect those data. And so these initiatives to monitor water quality at the national scale are really important.
Samantha, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That was Samantha Oliver, graduate student in UW-Madison's Limnology Department, talking about her study that found conditions in Midwestern lakes have remained largely the same despite a changing environment. Coming up, Wisconsin National Guard troops were called to active duty for response to Hurricane Irma. We'll learn more about their deployment after news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.